Cornucopia Radio presents.
Welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle. James, he's our man. If he can't do it, cancel the show. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Now, putting the A-list into pan-A-list. Go with me on this one. Please welcome David Wiley, Jenny Collier, Chris Cosentino, and Tom Harrison. So let's see what the challenge is in round one. Oh my goodness. Oh, what the? Oh, that really is the most awful stench imaginable. It's worse than that extreme yoga session in the sulfur factory. And reports are coming in that it's being noticed all over the planet. You'll have to seek the help of the world-renowned smellologist, Dr. Stinkelstein, in order to sniff out some clues. He lives in a teepee in the Australian outback, where his experiments can't affect anybody. So, attempting the challenge first will be David Wiley. Your object tonight is half a brick. Your companion is a penguin skilled in diplomacy. Your mode of transport is a grown man wearing a saddle. And your starting point is skating on thin ice on the River Nile in Egypt. So, best of luck to you trying to get to the Australian outback, and best of luck to you, Jenny, throwing whatever obstacles you can in his way. Wiley, your time starts now.
The ice instantly, melts. I'm gonna get that out of the way. I'm sort of swimming in the Nile. It's lovely and warm.
But then it freezes up again. It was very close to zero.
Ooh.
I think you're trapped under thin ice.
Right. That's really thrown me completely. Okay, I smashed the ice with my half a brick. Couldn't even get a full brick. That's budget cuts, I suppose. Climb out onto the bank of the Nile because I'm not going back in there with its rapid temperature changes. That's dangerous. Hop on my grown man wearing a saddle and set off. My penguin sort of flapping around behind me. You know what? I'm going to pick up the penguin. He convinces me to pick him up. You know, he's skilled in diplomacy like that. I don't even give him anything back.
Very nice.
Okay, and we head off towards the, I don't know, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah,
is that the next
direction
one I want to get to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I will do that then.
But because you're wet from the water previously, and then now it's got hot, the saddle's kind of chafing on the person.
It's uncomfortable, but I weather it because I... There's this horrible smell around as well. You know what? The entire world's rubbish. I'm going to put up with the chafing.
The grown man is getting chafed, though.
Yeah, well,
naked.
He'll have to put
He's
up
naked.
With it. Sorry,
the
Derek.
Wow, around, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, you know what? I rub him with the penguin.
Okay.
That helps. That helps. That helps a lot. And we continue through Saudi Arabia, not hitting any problems at all until we get to the coast of the ocean. What ocean is it? The Indian Ocean, I suppose?
Yeah, it's just around the Indian Ocean.
And then we... Oh, no. Got to cross water again. Can we just say that the temperature's leveled out now and there's no more ice?
No more rapid temperature changes.
Is that okay
with
you? Fine. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we
the pH is quite dangerous.
Did you say it was low?
It's dangerous.
So, dangerously low.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's acidic, which means I need some sort of alkali. I buy a pack of batteries, throw them in the ocean, everything's fine.
That has the same effect as throwing a toaster in a bath and it blows up.
Okay, no more water. I trudge along the bottom of the ocean. You know what? I get back on my grown man wearing a saddle. The chafing solved. We're sort of going around the ocean floor, picking up sunken treasures along the way. It's brilliant.
1 minute left.
It's really deep. I'd never realised how deep the ocean was until you got rid of all the water. Wow. I film a documentary while I'm down there. The penguins hosting it. That'll do. And we make our way towards Australia. We can see it in the distance. It's tall. Well, you know, it's not actually tall. I remember when sea level used to be a thing. It's brilliant.
Half a brick is weighing you down. You're struggling to carry it.
Well, it would have been weighing me down if it was a whole brick, but luckily. although it does get bad after a while, so I give it to the grown man to carry. And you know what? I wear the saddle for a bit. The penguins actually convinced me to do that, saying it's only fair if you wear the saddle for a bit, David.
Very diplomatic.
He is sealed in diplomacy, James.
Yes.
I want to use him. You know, we're not visiting his homeland or anything. I'm going to be nice to him. We get to the coast of Australia, although can you really call it a coast if there's
it's
no
more
water?
Of a cliff face at
yeah,
this
exactly.
point.
Oh, great. Now we have to climb a cliff. Thanks, James.
And you have 10 seconds left.
I climb the cliff and I I don't make it to the outback, though. That's pushing it too far.
Okay, David Wiley. Ocean's gone, but a cliff is too far. Fantastic stuff. Now, Jenny will be attempting the challenge. Your object tonight is a giant pair of nail clippers. Your companion is Mo Farah. Your mode of transport is a snowplow. And your starting point is covertly attempting to read off a Kindle in Waterstones in Ottawa, Canada. So, best of luck to you trying to get to the Australian outback. Your time starts now.
So, I'm covertly reading this Kindle, right? Because I like to get my rush from somewhere and drugs don't work anymore. So, I'm just reading the Kindle and then I'm like, I've got to get to this smell doctor place. I put the Kindle down. Totally got away with it as well. It was fine. Everybody was like, we're okay with that.
You're in Canada, though. Yeah. You can get away with anything.
They were like, what's all that about? and so I get my mate, Mo Farah, and we get the snowplow and just start making our way across the United States of America.
Is there any snow along the way, or are you just happy?
There's a bit, but because it's got a snow plow, it's totally fine. It's so perfect, actually.
It melts and then freezes over you.
Ingenious. Then what I do is I get Mo Farah to just start running over the ice and it melts
works.
It. And so we then we carry
work.
On and it's totally fine. Then we go a bit further south in America where it's like quite warm and that. And so we're just, you know, quite happily going along because the snowplow acts just like a car. There's no snow. You can just drive it. It's got the
you
thing
get pulled
at the
over for reckless driving.
Well, luckily, I've got this giant pair of nail clippers, which might sound useless, but actually, if you meet a copper in America, they've all got quite long nails. Mm-hmm. And because it's giant, they can put all their toes and fingers into it at once, and you go, and they're like, well, thank you very much. And then they send you on your way without a ticket. Sweet.
Brilliant.
And then we just keep going, and we get to the never eat shredded west coast of the US of A.
Because you've never eaten shredded wheat, you have a bowel problem.
Can we leave that out of the podcast, though? I just eat some corn that Mo Farah gave to me. And then that sorts me right out. Have a nice pleasant offload just before we hit the ocean. And we managed to get onto an ocean liner by, again, using the clippers, just clip all the nails at once.
1 minute left.
Oh, and then the people, they're like, clip, 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 clip. And then they let us onto the ocean liner. And then we go westward. Through the Great Barrier Reef, we've got Mo Farah, we've eaten some corn, everything is
they
sweet
as a nut.
They let
the snowplow onto it as well?
Yeah, because it's massive. The boat, not the snowplow.
Okay.
The snowplow's like a two-person one, so it's teeny, convenient.
You accidentally gave a bad nail clip to one of the people and they get really annoyed and drive the snowplow off into the ocean.
But the blood flow from their finger acts as like a jet propulsion, and then they get us back onto the boat. I don't know where that came from. And we got back onto the boat as a result.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
10 seconds left.
And then we get onto Australia, and then the smell doctor's there, and he's like, wow, nice snowplow, and can I have my nails clipped?
Very nice. Jenny Collier. Going above and beyond the call of duty. Very nice. Fantastic stuff from our first pair there in round one. But now it's time for our second pair, and attempting the challenge first will be Chris. Your object tonight is Alphabetti Spaghetti that keeps spelling offensive slurs.
I'll name him Chris Jr.
Your companion is Steven Spielberg. Your mode of transport is a sack race sack. And your starting point is sheepishly asking next door for your ball back in Doha, Qatar. So, best of luck to you trying to get to the Australian outback, and best of luck to you, Tom, trying to stop him. Chris, your time starts now.
Okay, asking for your ball back after having kicked it into a neighbour's yard is traditionally something sort of children do, and if there's one person who knows how to direct children into being likeable, it's Mr. Spielberg. So he coaches me through the process of getting the ball, which I'm not really sure why I actually went through this much bother to get the ball, because I don't need it to keep on going. But I have a ball now, so I... after attaining the ball, I head up and start heading through Iran and Iraq down towards the coast.
Yep.
While being careful to cover up my bowl of bigot soup, because as I'm sure our producer will agree, nobody wants that to break out.
Nope. The worst selling Campbell's flavour. At this point, the bigot soup, as we'll call it,
Chris Jr., if you would mind.
Sorry, Chris Jr. You may regret that part after this. Chris Jr. spells out something to Steven Spielberg. Not going to go into what word it uses, but he's not happy about it, and he's refusing to pull his weight. He's refusing to take up his part of the sack slack.
Using the football that I acquired earlier, I sell the football and use the money in order to pay Steven Spielberg to keep going on this journey. And Steven agrees because he'll donate the money to a charity, because that's what rich famous people do.
Yeah, it soothes the numbness inside.
Yeah. Well, someone wasn't a fan of the Crystal Skull.
I mean, do you blame me?
No. Okay, so I hit the coast, and as we've established with the alphabetti spaghetti, the spaghetti bits are presumably quite buoyant. So me and Steven hop in the sack, and we ride a lesser-known offensive term for Greek people towards Australia.
This is the mental image of you floating just on, like... Oh, God. Okay. Unfortunately, the sack starts springing a leak, and your offensive soup begins forming into an offensive slur for diabetic people, which isn't as buoyant as the Greek slur. You're sinking at a rapid rate.
You have 1 minute left.
Okay, I start eating bits of Alpha Betty spaghetti until they start spelling more buoyant racial slurs, I guess.
We've really been thrown under the bridge with this, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm not actually allowed to specify any part of my object without getting censored or murdered by our producer. Cheers, guys. So we continue heading towards Australia. We wash up on the coast, and we need to locate a teepee. So I cut up the sack and construct a miniature teepee myself. And Steven Spielberg, also being a producer, gets the scent of the teepee and is therefore able to sniff out a location which has the teepee.
Why is Steven Spielberg a dog? Like, this is so weird.
He's not a dog, he's a producer. There's a difference. Now who's the Chris Jr. offensive soup, Tom?
Well, I guess that would be me. Okay, as a final gambit, unfortunately Spielberg has now decided to make a film about teepee culture in racist soup land. No, this is dumb. Cut out the racist soup bit. He's decided to make a documentary about teepees.
10 seconds left.
Okay, we put out a cast call for people with experience with the whole teepee field, which fleshes out the person in the teepee that we were looking for.
Hey, very nice. Chris Costantino. Beautiful stuff there. Yeah, some of that. We can't really censor that because nothing was said. Okay, Tom, now you'll be attempting the challenge. Your object tonight is your own sex tape. Your companion. I was going to brush over that, but yeah. Your companion is a knight in shining armor. Your mode of transport is a white van with a petting zoo in the back. And your starting point is plundering the Oxford boat race in Oxford, UK. So best of luck to you trying to get to the Australian outback. Your time starts now.
Okay, so using the knight in shining armor to hack away all of the poshos and steal their... biscuits, they're Dutchie originals or whatever. I swim to the shore, I guess, and hop in my white van with a petting zoo in the back, taking time to etch "not creepy" with the knight sword into the side of it, because if I get caught with a sex tape in a van full of fluffy animals, I can't help but feel like things might go badly. So we get on the road, boarding a ferry to Germany. It's a little bit weird, just standing there in the, you know, getting some duty free with a guy in full plate armor. But you know, there's,
after, because you guys were swimming, the wet armor has now started to rust. So your knight in shining armor. Well, I mean, first of all, the armor's significantly less shiny, but also now he can't move.
This is a problem. Okay, I break into the utility supplies cupboard and find some like Sillet Bang, which obviously has never been tested on armor, but I'm fairly sure it will really like get the rust out of it.
I know medieval war reenactments, so reactors, so no, it really doesn't work. You need specialist polish to sort any kind of armor-related problems.
Okay, when we arrive in Germany, I go to a stupid nerd reenactment center where I get an armor smith whose name is something cool and Game of Thrones, like Reinhold or something, and he buffs up the armor and makes it better than before and sharpens the sword so it glows when orcs are near.
You're right.
That's really dumb.
You're right. I'm the nerd here.
And so I cross over into Poland, still in the van. Don't know what to do with my sex tape. I suddenly don't want to watch it. Like, so I guess we'll just keep going into the Ukraine.
Okay. Unbeknownst to you, your sex tape gets leaked and it goes viral. So when you hit the Ukraine, you're swarmed by fans.
Okay. Well, that went better than expected.
1 minute left.
Okay, well, in this case, I use this opportunity to sue the people doing it, like Hulk Hogan. I'm not a racist like Hulk Hogan. Just have a sex tape. I'd rather wasn't in the public eye. That's the only thing we have in common. And bad hair. And using the money from that, I managed to do something that isn't a cheat. So I put it in my bank account for now. And cross over into Iran, where I don't really know what to do now.
Okay, while you're in Iran, the loud noises that are non-political specific, don't worry, startle all the animals. They start running amok.
It's fine. Iran isn't in a state of conflict, just under the crushing boot of tyranny. Oh, whoops. we drive over into India, where nothing controversial. Oh, I'm running.
10 seconds left.
Okay. I settle down in India and do reenactment shows for a living with my millions of dollars.
Okay. Very nice. Not reenacting the sex tape.
No, right. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. No. The sex tape is stored in a vault.
Okay, fantastic stuff from both pairs there in round one. But now it's time to find out who is moving on to round two. And those two people are Jenny and Chris. In round two, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transport to improvise obstacles. In order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy, Odorous Odor Origins Overpowerer. Okay? So let's see what the challenge is in round two. You knock on the good doctor's tent flap, only to be immediately cornered by a herd of trained kangaroos, one of which is ridden by none other than Stinkelstein himself. Enraged that he was bullied by all the jock theoretical physicists for his choice of PhD, he has intertwined the two worst smells in the world, an active volcano in Iceland and teenagers, to teach the whole world a lesson. He laughs maniacally and leaves you to the mercy of the surprisingly vicious animals. You must escape and get to Mount Katla in Iceland to stop the infernal machine. So,
Attempting the challenge first will be Jenny, who, just to remind everyone, has with her a giant pair of nail clippers, Mo Farah, and a snowplow. But now Wiley will be trying to stop her using his half a brick, a penguin skilled in diplomacy, and a grown man wearing a saddle. Jenny, best of luck getting to Iceland. Your time starts now.
Thanks. Okay, so after the flaps of the doctor thing with the tent, we then go to the ocean.
What are you going to do about those kangaroos?
Snowplow them out of the way. Because they're anything
nice
really.
Nice and clean,
yeah. anything really like resembling snow, kangaroos, just anything in front of the
yeah.
snowplow.
No, I get it. It's
yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry, okay. just pretty proud of that one. include another thing that we can plow out of the way, bit of water. So at the ocean, you can just. It's a bit like a boat. It's a chitty chitty bang bang of a plow.
Yeah.
So you're basically traveling on the ocean floor.
No, we're going at such a speed that we can, it's like a hovercraft. I've got Mo at the Sir Mo Farah, like pedaling at the back. What do you call it? Flat.
I knock him out with half a brick. He drowns.
Oh no, that was going to be how we got there.
That's why I did it.
So then I go back to land with my nail clippers, I suppose. but luckily we had got as far as the Horn of Africa.
Yeah, nice.
I just wanted to say horn. Yep. And so then we start making our way up.
Unfortunately for you, the entire of Africa is now conjoined in one large country, thanks to the negotiating skills of my penguin, and no one likes you.
But it does make it easy because I just have to travel through one place now, as opposed to lots.
It's
lots
still
of
the same distance.
But they all have adopted the same language, which means "Would you like your nails clipped?" is a really quick thing for me to learn. So we get to the top of Africa, easy. And then we go through, we stop off through Tangiers and then through Spain, get through Spain.
Okay, when you're in Spain, well known for its bull fighting, except in this case it's a grown man wearing a saddle. I'm riding him, half a brick in the air,
what
just
was it
waiting
like?
To knock you out.
But I have still got the snowplow.
Yeah.
So I just shelter in that from the brick. It's brick-proof glass.
Brick-proof glass. Half a brick-proof glass.
Okay, instead I throw the brick into your engine and it destroys the engine of the snowplow. You can no longer use it.
So then I just start running because Sir Mo Farah, God rest his soul, he inspired me to learn to run. And so now I can run long distances. So I run all the way to the north of Scotland. And then...
hang on. How did you get through the English Channel?
Oh, it was, the tide was really low. And then I managed to just swim across one little bit. And then...
10 seconds left.
And then I jump on a plane and they let me through because I still got the nail clippers.
Very nice, Jenny Collier. A lot of self-belief involved in that one. I like it. Beautiful stuff from our first pair there in round two. But now attempting the challenge will be Chris, who, just to remind everyone, has with him his alphabetti spaghetti that keeps spelling offensive slurs, Steven Spielberg, and a sack race sack. But now Tom will be trying to stop him using his own sex tape, a knight in shining armour, and a white van with a petting zoo in the back. Also a few million pounds in the bank, apparently. So best of luck to you, Chris. Tried to get to Iceland. Your time starts now.
Okay, well, we're still presumably surrounded by kangaroos. So I take the sack and fashion a makeshift pouch and get Stephen to pose in the pouch, making us look like kangaroos. I was going to try and make a portmanteau of king and kangaroo. Kingaroo?
King, kingaroo?
Kanging...
This doesn't matter!
Basically, the kangaroos anoint me their leader, and basically I have an army of kangaroos at my disposal now, which
amazing.
Help me hop to the border.
What you don't realise is that my knight in shining armour, ooh, how romantic, is hiding in one of the sacks of the kangaroos. I'm considering having him cut his way out, but that's really grim. So he just climbs his way out and surprise attacks you and Steven Spielberg.
Well, he's wearing historic appropriate armour.
Yeah, so we established that.
what I was going to say. He's wearing historic appropriate armor, so my soup calls him a dork and he cries.
Knights are known for having very fragile egos.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I pull up in my white van with "not creepy" etched on the side, open it up and... oh, God. Lure Steven Spielberg inside with the promise of petting cute animals. I reach out to his leg. No.
Steven, it's been a pleasure, but you seem to have more important matters on your hand at the minute. So I continue the coast with my army of kangaroos. I round up the kangaroos and I attach offensive words for Jewish people and women to each of their feet, and we start.
Why do you do that? There's no need to do that.
Because I need to start hopping across. If you can think of a better way to hop across water with kangaroos, Tom, I would love to hear it.
At a guess, rent a boat. Carry on. Sorry. Yeah.
On second thoughts, I fashion a boat out of my sack.
That seems fair.
And I start using the kangaroos to hop across the ocean with my boat sack.
Yeah.
I fly overhead in the Goodyear blimp, and as a last ditch method...
Sorry, can I just... when did you acquire
that? I'm a millionaire. I sue Gawker, bruh. Like, come on.
1 minute left.
And I display my sex tape on the side of it. Really, this is a Pyrrhic victory, even if I do stop you, but, you know.
Okay, well, we hit... We hit the border, and usually we'd have problem getting through border control, but luckily everyone on the planet is too distracted by the... admittedly pretty impressive sex tape on the Goodyear.
Well, thank you very much.
So we're able to make it through customs relatively easily, and we continue heading up through Africa. Yeah, sorry. So I make it through this obvious edit point, and I get through Africa.
Okay, I have actually, contrary to how dark it got before, been working with Steven Spielberg to make a dramatization of both of our races, and have slandered you as a villain like that innocent guy in that United 93 film who died in real life and was made the cowardly villain for some reason.
10 seconds left.
I have brilliant direction, so I do a very good portrayal. I get flown out to Iceland for an award ceremony, and we...
Hey, we do it. I can't even argue with that.
Lovely stuff from both pairs there in round two. But now it's time to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. You arrive and... oh, my God. Teenagers force-fed multiple cans of high-sugar energy drinks, corralled into running laps, and then strapped into a giant machine to harvest their BO. It's obscene. Oh, there's only one thing for it. You pull out a can of trusty deodorant, run to the volcano edge, and cast it into the fiery abyss. Miraculously, it explodes, destroying the base and Dr. Stinkelstein, before covering the world in a more socially acceptable but arguably worse smell of Lynx. The teenagers are all released and completely fail to thank you. Yes, you are underappreciated winner tonight, Jenny Collier! Yay! Congratulations. That's all we've got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panelists, David Wiley, Jenny Collier, Chris Cosentino, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and hold my beer. I'm going to do a sick 180, yo. Enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.